I need you, Lord, more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you more. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never wanna go back. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more.
I'm out of it.
Than ever before. I need you more. I need you more.
More than air.
More than the air I breathe. More than the song I sing. More than the thirst I feel. More than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side. 'Cause I never wanna go back. I won't lie. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never want to go back my own life. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say.
Lord, as the
time, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you,
Lord. All right, join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, take and eat. Tim.
Good morning. Please pass your cups to the aisle for the ushers to pick up. I'd like to welcome everyone. I see a lot of new faces. I don't know if it's because of our guest speaker today or you're just checking us out. We're just so thankful to have you with us today. Immediately after the service, we have a reception for you in the hospitality room right by the front door. When you came in, you received a gift, a guest packet. Please fill out that card, and you can turn it in when you come to the reception after the service. Just two announcements I need to bring to your attention. Next Sunday, we're having a church picnic. The picnic is a fundraiser sponsored by the men's ministry. The men are going to cook meat both the Saturday evening and that Sunday. All you need to do is bring a side or a dessert and come and join us. It's always a real special time. Hopefully the Lord will bless us with another beautiful day like today. And the other announcement is Saturday night, guys, we're cooking some of the meat for that fundraiser. 8 o'clock, there's a number of us are bringing special grills, and we're going to be cooking special meat that evening to entertain ourselves. We're going to play poker, not for money, but for chips, and that's also a part of the fundraising effort. But we're just going to have a great time fellowshipping, hanging out, and cooking meat for the church picnic on Sunday. So 8 o'clock next Saturday, guys, 12 noon, everybody else, please plan on coming and joining us. Okay, Brian.
This is the time of the service I refer to as the Usher Olympics, as they reset everything from up here and try to get ready for the tithe. So I'm going to give them a minute. But one of the things that is really an amazing feature of growing to maturity in Christ, and one of the things that really makes it worth the time investment that it takes to do that, is the realization that as we come together and as we have the opportunity to give, we do not do that because God needs the money, if you can imagine that. But it's really because God knows that we need to give. We are not whole and complete if we keep everything into ourselves, but God has made us to be creatures that give. And so we thank the Lord for this opportunity to do that. Ushers? God, I thank you that we can give. Lord, I thank you that you have blessed each one of us abundantly, and I thank you that you will bless these gifts that come today and that you will multiply them for the use of your kingdom. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Good. As the baskets are passed, just one second. Okay. All right. All right. Jay. Pastor Jay.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Brian. Well, happy Father's Day. It's a great day, and well, thank you very much. We had a really fun time here yesterday. Some of us got to be here in this setting because a couple became a married couple. Could you guys stand up, please? I'd like you guys to welcome the Mahaffeys. We had the best Narnian wedding yesterday. It was a great time. We were off in the woods having a fun time. And what a wonderful couple. And you guys drew so many people back here to our Father's house. We had the Bakers are here. The West Coast Albies were here with us. And I'm sure there's some others here that I haven't mentioned. But what a wonderful time. And Bethany, it was so great having you up, helping us with worship today. What a wonderful time. So it's been a really good weekend. And to round out the weekend, we have the opportunity to, for us here at our Father's house, hear from a new speaker to us, but not somebody who's unaccustomed to being around us. Steve Coy has been a pastor for a long time, and we've had the pleasure and honor of having him and Kim and their family here with us this past while, and we're just excited to hear what he brings out this morning from the Word of God. And I'll tell you, I've been holding this. Is men's coffee on Wednesday mornings at St. Innie's at 6 o'clock. That's a plug. Guys, if you haven't come out to that and you have an opportunity to, I really strongly encourage you to. There's been a good group of us that have been getting together, and that has been a rich time for each of us through our week. We just get that shot in the arm, that dosage of fellowship with one another, and it's been a really good time just digging into the Word together. And one of the men that has been meeting with me regularly on that morning is Steve Coy, Pastor Coy. He's just been wonderful there, and to hear his heart and to see what God is doing in him has just been so encouraging and uplifting to me personally. I can't wait to see what God's going to bring out today. So, if you will, please rise and welcome with me Pastor Steve Coy.
Thanks. Thank you. Love you too, man. Oh. My son and I both suffer from OCD at times, if you couldn't tell by that. It's kind of funny. I'm really privileged to have this opportunity to share with you this morning. I'm was praying a lot about what in the world to share, and I'll just start with the fact that the passage I'm going to share with this morning was not one I wanted to share. Because I was like, you know, Lord, give me something really deep, something really cool, something really, you know, unique. And you know, I just was praying and fasting and thinking and praying and doing stuff and reading the Word of God. And then last Sunday, I'm in church. God said, speak on this passage. And I said, no. That's just such a common passage. I don't want to do it. I want something obscure, something really cool. And God said, no. I want you to speak on Luke 15. I want you to speak about the Father. And I'm like, it's Father's Day, cliche. And God said, do it anyway. I said, okay, I'll listen. And I want to talk to you today about the Father I need. And hopefully you'll see it as the Father. He's the Father you need too. He's the Father we all need. Now I want to start off by talking about someone. I want to honor my dad. First of all, I want to show you a picture when he was 16 years old. If I had seen that picture when I was a kid growing up, I would not have challenged him like I did. My dad was a farm boy. He grew up on a dairy farm, was strong as an ox, as you could tell by that picture. Just a mighty man, strong. Next picture shows him when he is a little bit older, when he was 80, at his 80th birthday party that I had the privilege of attending a couple years ago, a year and a half ago. He was doing great there. He doesn't look too bad for a guy who had survived prostate cancer, thyroid cancer, colon cancer, bladder cancer twice. But recently, his colon cancer, we believe, has come back, and he doesn't want any more treatments. He's 81, and he says, I'm done. I just want to go peacefully. And so this is one of the pictures we took of him recently. Yeah. I mean, you go from to, and it's hard as a kid, you know, see that, your dad go through that. But the amazing thing is I saw him 2 weeks ago. My brother saw him last week. And on my way, when my brother was there, he started not feeling well. And by the time he got home on Tuesday, he went to the doctor, emergency room Tuesday night, and they found a mass half the size of a grapefruit on his upper colon. So they took his 12 inches of his colon out, part of his small intestine, and the nodes around it, and we'll know Monday more about what he's dealing with, and we're praying that that's all he has to deal with. But it's amazing, my dad, you know, was just terrible, and then he found out that his son was sick, and all of a sudden he rallies. It's like he's not going, he doesn't want, I don't want to read into it, but it seems like he doesn't want to die while his son is struggling with something. And I go, that's just the heart of a father. And that's just an earthly father. And we're going to read today about our heavenly Father and how much he loves us and how much he gives to us. And so we want to talk about the Father I need. Let's pray this morning. Father, as we look into your word, we just seek your wisdom. We just seek to see you. Lord, you are such a good Father to us. As we sang that song, Good, Good Father, Lord, I just saw you sitting there in the chair watching us sing and just with a pleasure, a smile on your face, just like some of us have that memory of seeing our Father just smiling at us when we did something that was pleasing to him. Lord, guide us through this message today, and may Jesus Christ and the Father be lifted up, and may the Spirit move amongst us. We ask this in your name, amen. Now, we want to set the stage real quick about the scene. Jesus is going to tell three stories in succession. It's important to read all three of them, and we want to know the reason why. It says in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says, now the tax collectors and sinners
were all gathering around to hear Jesus. Tax collectors were the most vile people in the society of a Jewish culture because they were the ones that had turned their back on their fellow Jews, were extracting money from their fellow Jews and collecting more than what they needed to become rich. So they were not the favorite people. And then, of course, sinners, that can range from anybody who's breaking the law, but especially in the area of sexual immorality. A couple of things that the Jewish, the religious right, righteous people of the day who thought they were right in everything, who thought they were doing everything right, really were offended. And you see that by the word, what? But. There's a lot of buts in the Bible. And here it is one. I mean, it just says, hey, this is a really cool thing happening. Tax collectors and sinners are coming to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. They said, this is a terrible thing. I mean, we don't want the unrighteous to come to where we are and to hear Jesus. We don't want them to come and hear the word of God because they haven't kept it. They haven't been following it. Therefore, we don't want them to hear it or to know it. How can this guy welcome sinners? You see, the Pharisees had this idea that they were on the performance plan. They thought they had to do everything in order to please God. That they had to promote themselves in order to please God, provide for themselves in order to please God, and protect themselves in order to please God. I think you guys may have heard those phrases before here at our Father's house. You see why I didn't want to teach this message? But here it is. They're going, hey, we are the righteous ones. We keep the law. God's pleased with us. He can't be pleased with them. How can this guy eat with them? Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? I love that. That reminds us of Luke 19:10. The Son of Man came to what? Seek and to save that which is lost. And here it is. He says, the shepherd loses one sheep and he cannot stand that this relationship is broken. And that's so important for us to understand. Back in the garden, we broke the relationship with God. And ever since the garden, God has been pursuing mankind to bring him back into right relationship. God cannot stand any single person being separated from him. You read through the book of Isaiah, and it's amazing. You see God bringing judgment on all these nations that disobeyed him. And he particularly talks about Assyria and Egypt. He's going to bring condemnation on them. But then he also says in a passage here, I believe it's Isaiah 43, he says, I'm going to bring Assyria and Egypt and Israel, and they're all going to come and worship me. Because God has been and always will be passionate about pursuing people. Because God loves people. I know a lot of times in my own life, I haven't felt I deserve God's love. Duh. None of us do. But God pursues us. Look what it says next verse. It says then, next part. Oh, there we go. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. Two words here I want you to see. One is joyfully, which I forgot to highlight, and the word rejoice. There's going to be a theme here throughout this passage. When God finds the lost, he does what? He rejoices. It's like I remember hearing Bill Johnson say, God is in a good mood. And I really that just rubbed me so wrong when I first heard it. I was like, God's not in a good mood. He sees what's all going around, right? How can God be in a good mood? But God is in a great mood because he's seeking to save that which is lost. And every time somebody turns from trying to do it their own way to God the Father, God just rejoices. He's so excited. And Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing. More rejoicing, same word, in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, that's not saying that God doesn't love the righteous. He's just saying he loves when people repent, because that means the relationship can be restored. And God's all about the relationship with us. That's why he made us, to walk with us in the garden, to talk with us, to give us the rule and reign over the earth so we can have that in communion with him. And then we break it every time we sin. And God says, I want you to come back and I want to rejoice over you. You know, we don't have to fear God when we come to him when we're away from him. It's such a lie Satan puts into our heads, isn't it? I mean, even when we're a believer, right? And we do something wrong, we get this idea that, man, God just must be so ticked off at me right now. And that keeps us away and that puts us barrier. And the whole time God is saying, I'm chasing after you. I'm running down after you. I'm right behind you. I'm here. Just turn around. We have a friend whose son recently was in a terrible car accident. And for years, they kind of fell away from the church, and they haven't been serving God, and they've kind of distanced themselves from God, especially the sons, because they were hurt in the church. And he tells us, Friday night we were with them, the son tells us, you know, just before the accident happened and the car went off the road and flipped a couple times, he goes, he was adjusting himself in the back seat and he noticed it was raining hard. And he said, I should put my seatbelt on. And it, almost as soon as he clicked it, the hydroplane went off the road, hit an embankment, and flipped over several times. I put my hand on him and I said, you know, God was gracious of you to remind you to put your seatbelt on. As long as we're alive, God is still what? Pursuing us. And sometimes we don't think we hear God's voice, and yet God is speaking to us. And I believe God spoke to him at that very moment to say, hey, I'm still pursuing you. Put that seatbelt on. It's going to get rough here for a moment. You see, we have a father that we need, a father who loves us and a father who cares for us. Verse 10 keeps the storyline going. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? My wife this past week lost part of her necklace. And you should have seen her going around the house. It was just a little end to a necklace. The chain had broke, and she was pursuing the pendant. Is that what you call it? Yeah. And she's going through the top of her drawer. She's going other places. I won't mention how she looked for it all because I don't want to embarrass her. But there was sweeping, and there was lights, and there was other stuff going around. And then, lo and behold, later on, she finds it, and she's so excited that she found it. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. I'm going to use that as an illustration. Didn't tell her. But when she finds it, what does this lady do when she finds that coin? She says, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, can you read that with me? Rejoice with me. Read that with me, please. Rejoice with me. It's that same word. And Jesus is trying to make a point. The Pharisees and scribes were upset that sinners had come to the dinner table. And Jesus is like, this is awesome. I'm rejoicing that they're here. I'm excited that they're here. I was saved in an independent fundamental Baptist church. Amen. And I'm so thankful they were faithful to, you know, they believed that God's word was God's word, except when it mentioned the Holy Spirit. But they believed God's word was the word. And, you know, they wanted to follow it. And they were great at many things. But the one thing that church did, man, if you did not come in right, if you didn't have, if you wore pants or lo and behold, ladies, if you wore jeans. It was like, ooh, you need a change if you're going to come here. We got a skirt for you to put on. It's like, huh? Could you imagine Jesus bringing the tax collectors and sinners, and they're coming to dinner, and he's like, hey, wait a minute. You can't come in and eat with me yet. Why? Well, you have tax collector clothes on. You need to move, take those off. You have sinner's clothes on. We don't see Jesus ever, ever doing anything like that. We just see him rejoicing that those far from him are coming to him. Jesus is excited. And just as it says, rejoice with me, I have found a lost coin. What does it say next? In the same way I tell you, there is, what's the word? Rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Presence of the angels of God. So who's doing the rejoicing? God himself is going, woohoo! This is exciting. I'm so happy. You know, we long for that, don't we? You know, I just went up to visit my dad. We've had an interesting relationship over the years. But when I saw his smile on his face, that I was there. It's just exciting. Even though he was weak, even though he's dying as a physical father, earthly father, just to see the smile on his face. And yet it says here that there's more rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Then we go on to the story we want to hit and continue go through. Jesus continued. Jesus is making a point, and he really wants to make the point. And most of us are like the people he's teaching, the scribes and the Pharisees. We're slow learners, right? Do you guys ever have to be told something multiple times before it begins to sink in? Well, this is Jesus. Jesus knows us. He's like, hey, guys, you still don't get it, do you? Yeah, and they're not even going to get it after he says it. But anyway, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. And there's all kinds of things we can go down to through this, but think about the most amazing thing of this story is that the father doesn't go, why are you doing this to me, son? Why are you making this big? Why? He just does it. It's startling to me, isn't it? The father doesn't make a scene about it at all. And I think that's going to be key later for the son coming back. A little personal story. Our oldest daughter, Lauren, a few years ago, she went into a same-sex relationship. And when we found out, the hardest thing for me was not to go, what? Why? Tell me why. And, you know, do the whole, you know, you broke your father's heart deal, right? Kim and I didn't do that. And that's by the grace of God. And our daughter has told us one of the reasons why it was easy for her to come back is because we didn't shame her in her sin. And here's the father not shaming the daughter. I mean, personal lies right there, right? The father's not shaming the son, even though the son is asking something. He's saying basically, Dad, I wish you were dead. Get out of my life. And yet the father doesn't react. He just gives it to him. It's amazing. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and the word there carries the idea he took all the stuff, whatever was his. The older son would get twice as much as the younger son. So the younger son takes his part, and he sells it all because he wants cold, hard cash because he wants to go and party. And that's what he goes and does. Not longer than that, he gathered all the stuff that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Thought he had all these great friends, and we're not going to emphasize all that, but you know, there it goes. You think you can provide for yourself, you think you can protect yourself, you think you can promote yourself, and how does that work out for you usually? It doesn't work. And the younger son realized that, and he longing to eat. And then it goes on and tells us in the following verses. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. Because, man, even the servants had it better than I got. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. He's saying, there's this area of repentance. And this is so important. It's the turning from going, I can't protect myself. I can't provide for myself. I can't promote myself. And every time I do, it just ends up a mess. I'm going to turn back to the Father. That relationship to be restored. Now, the whole time, we saw that the Father's been pursuing us, right? We saw that in the lost sheep, the shepherd's after the sheep. We saw in the lost coin, the woman is after the coin, God is after us. And this one, we see that the son turns, and who's going to be waiting for him right there? It's so awesome. I love it. Hey, look at it. It says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. None of us are worthy to be called the sons of God. And he says, make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, I love this. Who's looking for him? Who's looking for him? Who takes time out of every day to go, is he coming yet? Is he coming yet? I can't wait to see him. You know, if you're apart from God right now, if you've been walking away from God, the Father is not going, oh, I can't stand the sight of you. He's like, I can't wait to see you face to face again. I can't wait to restore this relationship. I can't wait to redeem you. Come home. So while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And the father is not filled with judgment. The father's not filled with condemnation. The father doesn't go, how'd that work out for you, huh? You know, all the things fathers want to do, right? You know, we want to be Dr. Phil. How's that working for you? The father doesn't do any of that. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't judge. He says, but he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. You know, we're so worried God's going to be upset, and the whole time God's just going, I'm ready to run. I'm ready to run to you. Just give me a sign. Give me a sign you're going to turn to me. Just any little sign. I'm pursuing you. I'm chasing you. I'm searching for you. I want to restore that relationship. I want to forgive your sins. I want to heal your wounds. I want to show you my love over and over again. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. It's just a sign of welcome home. Some of you, I don't really have this experience either, you know. Even when I go to hug my dad now, you know, it's kind of like, love you too, son. He didn't get much love from his father, so he's not really good at giving it to me. And I'm not real good at giving it to my kids. I try hard, but it's always awkward, you know. Some of you have never experienced what it's like to have your father run to you. And say, I'm so glad you're home. And give you a big bear hug. And if you're that kind of family, a kiss. And yet here it is. God the Father, the Lord of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all things, says, I so want to do that with you. I so love you. And then we see that he provides for him, he promotes him, and he gives him protection. What do you mean? The son says to the father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Repentance is huge. It's important. The son is saying, I can't. I've done all this wrong. I broke the relationship. You didn't, Dad. I'm the one who turned. I'm the one who walked away. But I'm turning back now. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father's like, yeah, he doesn't say it. But what does he say? But the father said, father says, okay, you're done. You said your part. You repented. Let's start the party. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe. I mean, we're talking, this is for all the special guests. This is for the most special people who come into my house. I want you to have the robe right now. Put a ring on his finger saying, hey, you are a son of mine. You can, this is amazing. He had wasted his father's money. He had wasted his inheritance. And dad says, here's a ring, my signet ring. You can go and make purchases now under my name. Do you know what he just did? Yeah, he came back home and put sandals on his feet. We see the father promoting him back to sonship, protecting him with clothes and sandals, providing for him in a tremendous way, because what do? Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. A little different word than rejoicing, but it carries the same idea of it's a great time. God says, come home. I want to celebrate with you. Why do we sing in church with such loud voices, or we should? Because it's a celebration that we have a right relationship with the Father, not based on our performance, but based on his provision through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He was the Lamb who was given for us and rose again. Whew. But Jesus has been telling the Pharisees and scribes what? This is all that's going on. Now let's talk about you guys for a moment. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. Now, being a good Baptist, he was really upset about that. I can say that because, well, anyway, former Baptist. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what is going on? How can this be? Your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. I'm not going to have any relationship with my dad anymore because he liked somebody else too. So his father, who's still the pursuer in this story? Who's still the pursuer? The father. So his father went out and pleaded with him. My answer would have been, huh, he's going to sulk? Let him. God's such a better father than I am. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Look, the older brother had been serving in order to receive recognition. And that's exactly what the Pharisees and scribes, the teachers of the law, had been doing. They were like, look, God, look how well we perform for you. Aren't we special? And God's like, no, what makes you special is coming to me. I'm the one who provides and protects you. I'm the one who promotes you. You don't have to do all this stuff. Come to me. But the older son says, man, I want to do it. I want to celebrate by myself with my friends. And what does the father say to him? But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, you ever talk about another Christian that way? You see, all of us have been the younger son, and all of us have been the older son. And we almost get upset with God when these terrible sinners come to our house, receive Jesus, and expect to just be welcomed in. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. I love this. My son. He doesn't say, you worthless person. He says, my son, you are always with me. You've missed the whole point. You've been here this whole time and you've been missing the point. It's not that you have worked hard. It's not that you have served. It's not that you obeyed. You're missing the relationship with me. You're always with me, and everything I have is, it's yours. How often have I not enjoyed what the Father provided because I was serving to be recognized? I was striving for affirmation and not serving because I have everything. I'll tell you this. My wife and I were talking this morning, and I shared with her, you know, I don't have a fear of sharing this morning. For the last 5 years at my previous church, I was almost afraid every Sunday because there was judgment in the house. Everything I said was being critiqued, not for what they were hearing from God, but for what I might say wrong. You know, that's a terrible thing. And even I shared at another church in between that time and this, and there still wasn't that freedom yet. And there was things that I still needed to grow in my life. And I'm not there yet. I'm still growing every day like the rest of you. Oh, but it was like, you know, Lanny asked me, hey, can you preach on Father's Day? I was like, okay, I guess. And then I'm like, what do you want me to speak on? He's like, whatever you want. I'm like, huh? You sure? And then Jay, you know, the whole time he's been like, hey, brother, can't wait to hear from you. Can't wait to hear what God has from you to share through you. And I'm just like, wow, that's different. What a welcoming place our Father's house is. And what a place that I hope you feel a spiritual hug every time you come in, if you can get by without a physical hug. And listen, everything that the Father has is ours. And listen to this, when those far from God come to him, and when those of us who are in his house realize what we have him. Think about it. We have the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's all ours. When people come in, we had to. Oh, we got to celebrate. We have to be glad. And that goes back to the same word for rejoice. We have to rejoice. We have to be glad. Because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, just like all of us. And he was lost, and now he's found. What a Father who provides for us all these things. Sometimes we think God doesn't have enough to supply for us. You know, that's kind of like the older son. Well, if you give to that one, there's not enough for me. Louise, right? This morning, she gives me this and says, I saw this in worship this morning. I was like, huh. That kind of fits. It's almost like the Father knows what's up, right? I saw a deep pot with some food in the bottom and a ladle. We have a tendency to fear or expect the pot to run dry. That somehow God's provision is not going to be enough for all of us. But God says that's not how he considers us or provides for us. He is the Ancient of Days who leads us with loving kindness. There are changes beginning and ending in our life, but our Father is guiding us in them, not leaving us to fend for ourselves. How perfect is that? So this morning, if you've been running from God, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Father is pursuing you. You know, why are you here today? Because my dad made me. I don't know. My kids dragged me. I don't know why. But you're here because God is pursuing you. And he cannot wait for you to become part of his family, to receive the forgiveness of sins. You don't have to be perfect. He provides the perfection. As the song we sang, he provides the righteousness. He provides the holiness. He provides the faithfulness. He provides it all. He gives it to us and then says, that's what I want from you because I gave it, you know, it's mine anyway. And then if you're here today and you know Christ as your Savior, but you've been walking away from him, or you've been judging others, which is, when you judge others, you break the fellowship with the Father because that's not what the Father's doing. When you condemn unbelievers for acting like unbelievers, or if you've been wondering if the Father really wants you back in fellowship, yes, I guarantee he does. Because he says he wants to rejoice. He wants us to be a place, I can't believe I'm going to say this, of dancing and celebration. Father, we praise you for your goodness today. And we thank you for how you're moving and what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for your heart for us. Thank you for your goodness to us. We praise you and lift you up in all things. And we ask that you keep drawing. Lord, keep drawing me as I so often want to walk away from you or wonder if you love me. Lord, help me always turn back to you. Repent and turn back, knowing your arms are open wide and you're running towards me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Deserve your love. We know that you love us, and we're so thankful. We ask for you to be with us this day as we celebrate fatherhood today. In Jesus' name, let all fathers be blessed, those that are already fathers, those that are yet to be fathers. In Jesus' name, amen.